The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and it's great to be with you as we continue to encourage one another in the faith and strive to foster a culture of holy vocations. Today, we have a beautiful married couple here in studio as our guests, and I know you are going to enjoy hearing their story and getting a glimpse of their family life. But first, I thought it would be good for us today, as we sometimes do when we have a married couple as guests, to take a closer look and gain inspiration from saints who were married. So today, I chose Louis and Zelie Martin, the parents of St. Therese of Lisieux, who were canonized together as a married couple by Pope Francis in 2015. Louis Martin was the third of five children, but all of his siblings died before reaching the age of 30. Louis wanted to become a monk, wishing to enter the Augustinian great St. Bernard Monastery, but he was rejected because he could not master Latin. Later, he decided to become a watchmaker. Zelie was the second daughter of Isidore and Louise Jean Guérin. She had an older sister who became a nun and a younger brother who was a pharmacist. Zelie, too, wanted to become a nun, but was turned away by the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul due to respiratory difficulties and recurrent headaches. She then prayed for God to give her many children and that they would be consecrated to God. She later decided to become a lace maker. Zelie fell in love with Louis Martin in 1858 and married him only 3 months later on July 12, 1858, at the Basilica of Notre Dame in Alençon. Zelie's business became so successful that in 1870, Louis sold his watchmaking business to go into partnership with her. Within 15 years of their marriage, they had 9 children, 7 girls, and 2 boys. But tragically, within a 3-year period, 2 baby boys, a 5-year-old daughter, and a 6.5-week infant baby girl died. Louis and Zelie were left numb with sadness after the deaths of 4 children, but their faith sustained them through these terrible ordeals. "I haven't a penny's worth of courage," Zelie wrote. "When I closed the eyes of my dear little children and buried them, I felt sorrow through and through. People said to me, it would have been better never to have had them. I couldn't stand such language. My children were not lost forever. Life is short and full of miseries, and we shall find our little ones again up above." The Martins' last child was born January 2, 1873. She was weak and frail, and doctors feared for the little infant's life. But baby Therese proved to be much tougher than anyone realized. She survived. A year later, Zelie wrote, "She was a big baby, browned by the sun, full of life, who giggles a lot and is sheer joy to everyone." The series of tragedies had intensified the love of Louis and Zelie Martin for each other. They poured out their affection on their 5 surviving daughters, Marie, Pauline, Leonie, Celine, and their newborn, Therese. Zelie tragically died of breast cancer in 1877 at the age of 45. Therese was just 4 years old. A few weeks later, Louis sold her lace-making business and their house and moved to Lisieux, where Zelie's brother Isidore lived with his wife and 2 daughters. After Zelie's death, Pauline, Therese, and Celine all became Carmelite nuns, along with a cousin, Marie. Leonie became a Byzantine nun. In 1889, Louis suffered two paralyzing strokes, followed by cerebral arteriosclerosis, and was hospitalized for 3 years at an asylum. In 1892, he returned to Lisieux, where two of his daughters looked after him until his death in 1894. Louis and Zélie Martin, pray for us. What I love about Louis and Zélie is that both of them thought they had vocations to the religious life, but God had another plan, and their marriage gave the world one of its greatest saints. They consecrated their children to God and literally let God have his way despite sacrifice and loss. Think of how difficult it must have been for Louis to say goodbye to each of his daughters as they entered a cloistered convent. Most of us in today's world can't fathom such a surrender. Our guests today, however, know firsthand what that is like. Their daughter is a cloistered nun at the Poor Clare Monastery here in St. Louis. Stan and Janet Schwent are our guests today, and they were married at St. Agnes Parish in Bloomsdale, Missouri on June 11, 1982. They've been members of that parish for 31 years. Janet was a co-youth minister for 13 years. She is a lector, extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, part-time sacristan, PSR coordinator and teacher, and marriage prep facilitator. Stan is a PSR teacher, marriage prep facilitator, extraordinary minister, and a volunteer for St. Agnes Parish. Stan has always worked in auto parts business and currently works in sales for Semo Tank in Beeley, Missouri. Janet is a retired secretary from St. Genevieve R2 School District. They have three daughters, two of whom are married with children, and one who is a Poor Clare nun in St. Louis. Stan enjoys hunting, fishing, and spending time in the woods. Janet also enjoys fishing, as well as gardening, hiking, and genealogy. Janet has had the blessing of making two pilgrimages to Medjugorje while as a youth minister, and will be making another pilgrimage to Guadalupe in March of 2020. Stan was a volunteer firefighter for 25 years. Well, welcome Stan and Janet Schwent to the Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you with us on the show today and to share a little bit about your marriage, your family life, and to tell us also a little bit about your daughter, which is a unique situation, I think, for many Catholic families. So let's get right to the questions. How did you two meet, and what was it about each other that made you fall in love? Janet, why don't we start with you?
We're actually high school sweethearts.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We met each other while in high school, dated from the time I was a sophomore on. And just what made me fall, what was about him, it was, okay, I have to lie just a little. His looks were pretty good, but he just had wonderful background.
Really?
He came from a very good family. I knew that from the get-go. When you come from a family of 11 children, you know that's a good Catholic family.
And that's something that you wanted?
It was something I wanted.
That's beautiful.
Unfortunately, I lost the good looks.
I love it, Stan. Not true, not true. Well, Stan, what was your first impression of Janet, and what made you fall in love with her?
Well, I had a good friend, which was her older brother. So when I found that out, I just started picking on her for that reason. And then after that, it just kind of clicked.
I love it. Well, and that's interesting that you knew each other. You knew each other's background from the same town. I mean, those are important foundational things that can carry over into your marriage, of course. What do you remember most about those early years of your marriage? And were there any adjustments or surprises that had to be made in those early years for your marriage to flourish? Because sometimes there's a little reality check there in the early years.
Yes. We were both married very young. I married at 19. So for us, it was a learning process, learning each other.
I'm sure.
So we had to do that. But then, too, we took the time after we began our family. When we were first married, we lived in Texas. We were down in the Houston, Galveston area. Mm-hmm. And after we started having our girls, we decided it was time to go home. Mm. It was time to be around family again. But that was a big financial jump for us.
Oh, sure.
It was huge coming back to Missouri financially. So we took a big leap in doing that and coming home with not even really a job to come to.
Oh, wow. So how was that for you, Stan?
I was definitely for it. We were in an area that was not a very nice place at that time. And we wanted to get back to family. We knew that this area in Missouri was our family, our upbringing, and we wanted our values related to our children mm-hmm. to be able to grow up like we did, instead of seeing a city life down in Houston that was pretty bad at the time.
Okay, so that had to be a huge leap of faith, though, to come back without a job right away to start.
Yeah, we decided we need to do something, and we had family members that helped us out quite a bit when we came back.
And that's beautiful.
And we got on our feet pretty quick.
Good. Praise be to God for that. Yes. All right, well, can you share some of the foundational daily habits or qualities that have become anchors in your marriage? So you said you married young. You've basically grown up together. But what has been the secret to your success? Because not all married couples that married at 19 and 18, that they grow together. Some of them grow apart. What were some of the anchors in your relationship that have been very helpful for you?
I think a lot of it was good background. I mean, we had wonderful examples from our parents, and you stuck it out no matter what. You learned to work with each other. We had to rely on only each other. We didn't have other people to go to.
Sure, when you moved away, that's yes. for sure.
So we learned ourselves by doing that. Mm-hmm. And so whenever something got a little rough, yeah, we had to back down. One of us would usually back down for a while, and mm-hmm. we'd think about it, and it always worked out. I mean, the good Lord blessed us. He knew what he was doing back then. In hindsight, now we see. He guided us. He guided us to know that there was bigger plans for us.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I could see the love of my parents while I was growing up. Unfortunately, my father died whenever I was a senior in high school. He was a firefighter, too, for 25 years and actually died in a fire, a bad fire, nursing home fire in our town. But before that, the love that they gave 11 children and the happiness in our household, I think that instilled in me what I had to do with our marriage and my part of it.
Mm, that's beautiful. Well, I know that you have passed that faith on to your children. You said it was important. You wanted them to have the values. That's why you moved back here. So what were some of those essential core things? Were there some devotions or family traditions or things? What aspects about the faith did you want to make sure that your children knew?
Prayer was key for me. Prayer was huge. I always prayed with the girls. I always talked faith. I always say, talk faith with your children. I tell that to my PSR families all the time. I talked faith with my kids a lot. Mm-hmm. As they grew, they learned about Jesus. They learned about Mary. They learned about the Trinity. It was something that I felt was very important. I always wanted a faithful relationship with my children.
That is so true. Yeah, faithful. Not just how was your day, what happened at school, but like you said, talk faith with your children. What great advice for all parents who are listening, especially if they have young children, to start now. But it's never too late.
No.
What about you, Stan? What are some of the things that you wanted to pass on to your children?
I wanted to show that as a father and a man, we could still go to church together. You see families that maybe a mother brings their children to church, and that's it. And ever since we had our kids, I was with her. We were sitting in front of the church because we wanted our kids not to get disturbed by anybody else.
Right.
So it's like, sit in the front row, we watch Father.
Exactly. Sit up front and you can really see, and they can actually pay attention a little bit better sometimes.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. Exactly. Not every Sunday, but I love that example of a dad who goes to Mass faithfully every Sunday, that's important, and it's normal. That's what a dad does. That's what a dad, you're showing that to your children. Beautiful. I love it. Okay, now I want to get to about your daughter. And not that you have three daughters, so not that we're going to, you know, just single out one, but she does have a very beautiful vocation, and we are in the works of getting to set up an interview with her as well. So this is going to be awesome to hear from the parents' perspective, and then hear from her. So tell us about her name that you named her, and then her name now, as she is a Poor Clare nun here in St. Louis in a cloistered monastery. Did you see signs of her religious vocation early on in her childhood?
No, we did not. I tell most people God has a wonderful sense of humor. Out of my three daughters, Cammie is what we called her. She was given Camille Marie. But Cammie was not the one I would have thought by any means. She was let's just say she had a little spitefulness in her. She liked to be a little ornery many times to her sisters.
Oh, my goodness.
So, no, that did not show whatsoever. When I was a youth minister, my daughters were the main reason I chose to follow that path and go into youth ministry. And she was my second. So when it came time for her to go to youth nights, she did not want to do it. She did not want to have anything to do with them.
No kidding.
No. And her dad stood behind me and said, "You will go and you will sit back there. I don't care if you don't say a word, but you will be there."
Okay. So youth group was not an option. It was when you're in high school, you're going to go to youth group. Just part of living in your house. Is that the way it was, Stan?
That was our rule back then.
Okay. All right. Well, how then? Okay. You didn't see any signs of this. So what was your initial reaction, Stan? Who did she tell first? Did she tell you both at the same time? Or did she tell you first, Stan? And what was your reaction? Because she's not just entering a convent where she might be a teacher or, you know, you could see her occasionally. No, she's entering a cloistered monastery. Tell me your reaction.
Well, first of all, her name is Sister Mary Christiana.
Okay, Sister Mary Christiana. Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
And she let her mother know first, of course. And whenever I found out, it's like, oh, okay, Port Clair's all right, monastery in St. Louis, okay. Cloistered. What was that word again?
So you didn't understand at first.
I mean, I grew up in a Catholic community with sisters teaching school at the local Catholic school.
Right.
And I didn't know what cloistered meant was at the time. And whenever I found out, I got a lot of jealousy, you know, from, you know, all about me. And it's like, I don't know if I want to let that happen, but
that would be a very typical, normal response, I'm sure.
Yeah. The good Lord and my wife, who's going to be a saint, convinced me that I need to let her make her own decision.
So was it a little bit easier for you, Janet?
It was probably a little bit easier for me, but I'm still going to say, as a mom, it was still hard. Mm-hmm. It's still hard to let your child enter something that you know you'll never be able to physically touch them again. That took a lot of oomph from God for us. He had our back in that one.
Well, and I really appreciate you being honest and sharing this, because I know that it is a huge sacrifice for parents when their daughter says that they want to enter the convent, but then to also say, I want to enter a cloistered convent, that's another level for sure. So I really appreciate that you're giving us this glimpse, because not many have walked in your shoes, that's for sure. But I want for you to also share, how did God work on you? How did you come around? What has that been like, your journey, Stan?
Well, like we said, it was tough at first. But, oh my gosh, after the first year or 2 years, and it just got so comfortable, so easy. They're very intelligent. The Poor Clares, they're smart. They're funny. And to have a second family, what other family would be better?
So you've come to really embrace the community and embrace her vocation?
Oh, they're beautiful, yes.
Okay, so how often, let's get realistic, how often do you get to see your daughter? You say you've met all the sisters, you know them, you have another family. So do you get to visit?
We do visit. We visit our daughter 4 times a year. During those visits, our immediate family, so her sisters and her nieces and nephews all come. What grandparents were still alive at the time were there as well, but we've lost all our parents since then. So we see the Reverend Mother during our visit. Usually she comes in and visits with us and the extern sister, Sister Mary Michael. But the rest of the sisters we usually don't get to see during that visit. So that's usually rare if we get to see the other sisters.
Okay. All right. But were you there for her first profession and her final profession? Did you get to be a part of that?
Yes. And we actually got to be with some of the other sisters, too, at those times.
Oh, beautiful.
So during the first profession and the final profession, it was actually opened up to our whole family. So it's kind of more like a wedding celebration. And all of our families got to come up and visit with her during those times.
Beautiful. So what have been some of your greatest joys, or what have you seen in your daughter, Sister Mary Christiana, that make you, like right now our listeners can't see it, but you're both just smiling. You're both smiling. And so I want our listeners to know that these are parents filled with joy and support and love for the Poor Clares, for their daughter, and have embraced her vocation. So what is it, or what has happened to the joy that you've seen in your daughter?
Oh, her joy has been amazing. I know life is still hard for them. I'm not going to say everybody's life has rough roads, but their joy and peace is absolutely amazing when you see them. It is phenomenal, and they just radiate it when you're there. Mm-hmm. And our conversations are just so heartfelt and so warming, you know, and we listen to her, we learn from her, and she shares with us as we share with her the differences in our interpretations of different things and how we view different things. Mm-hmm. But it's so much fun just to be with them and to explore that adventure with them. And to learn more about God, not only through our eyes, but through their eyes.
And how beautiful that it's your own daughter that you can have these deep conversations and learn from her, which is so beautiful. You passed the faith, you gave it to her, and now she's doing that for you, which is beautiful. Stan, what do you want to say?
I meet with a men's group every Wednesday, and we have part of our group is what is the closest moment to Christ for that week? And 4 times a year, I tell them I'm using it 4 times a year, when that curtain opens up, when we meet with her, and I see that smile on her face, it's Christ. It's beautiful. I can't explain it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. So how do you explain to others about your daughter and her vocation? Because I'm sure some people have said, what? You got to be kidding me. How can you do that? How could you let her do that? Whatever you've heard, and I'm sure you've heard it all. What do you say?
That's a tough one sometimes. Yes, we have heard it all. And we haven't always had support from all our families. A lot of them didn't understand. They couldn't grasp this ideal. But we look at them and I look at most people and ask them, you know, God blessed us with children. And he blessed us with these children to bring them up, to give them back to him. When we have them baptized saying, I'm going to do whatever I can to get this child to heaven. And part of that is when God asks us to give them back to him because he is calling them for something more, we have to do that. I always tell people, it's not easy. I'm not going to say it is. It was a hard task, but that's when you have to trust. Mm-hmm. You do. You have to trust and know that it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it.
That is awesome. Such words of wisdom, Janet. Thanks for sharing that.
I talk to a lot of men, and what I tell them is this. You have a daughter. What do you want from your daughter as she grows older? You want them to be happy, and you want them to be safe.
True.
And
every parent,
to me,
would say that, yeah.
It is so much easier. She's cloistered. She's not going to have a problem going down to the local store and someone attacking her.
True.
She's not going to get involved in an auto accident. Mm-hmm. She is safe. And is she happy? The smile on her face tells it every time.
Wow. So you know in your heart that she is happy and doing what God's called her to do. And that, again, as a parent, that's what we want for our mm-hmm. children, for them to do God's will and to be happy and joyful doing it. All right, final question. What advice or suggestions do you have for parents who are afraid or reluctant for their daughter to enter the convent?
It's interesting because I just gave a talk to some college girls, and I had one of the girls ask, how do I tell my parents? And I said, more than anything, you have to have a conversation with your parents. You need to let them know that you're even considering religious. Do that first. And for the parents, be open. Just listen to them. Let them explore. We don't know for sure that's where God's calling them. It's just a lot of times a thought. But they have to explore that thought, and they have to know where God's taking them. We don't know what their vocation is. We can't read it.
You're right.
Only God knows.
You're right.
So always be open and listen. God's going to cover it. You know, it's okay. And if you want grandchildren, there's a lot of children out there who just need someone to love them.
I love it. All right, Stan, final word to you. What advice would you give to any parents?
You got to let your children grow up. You got to let them make their own decisions and stand behind them. Always stand behind them. And as far as entering a cloister, you just have to meet these women and understand how beautiful and happy they really are. they're married to Christ.
That's right. They are married. They're married to Christ. They are the bride of Christ. Excellent. Well, gosh, Stan and Janet Schwent, thank you for giving us this glimpse. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And we are so grateful that you've been guests today on the Pearl of Great Price. Let's conclude by praying for all vocations, shall we? In the name of the Father, Amen. And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation. With Mary, I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Stan and Janet Schwent, thank you so much for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.